Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
I'm smelling the dog. I have a mutt. I'm smelling the dog. I'm super smiley. I have a cat, two sweets, the travel kitty. I have a big girlfriend. Angel's really pretty. I have a pony and we share a big horse. We have a big yard. Yeah, we have to, of course. I have a pool. In the summer, I stay cool. I have a fountain. I live in the mountain. Live high on the hog. Need to be a spokes dog. I'm smiley the dog. I have a mutt. I'm smiley the dog. I'm super smiley.
Woof and super smiles. Welcome to a super smiley adventure on Pet Life Radio, the largest pet radio network in the world. Of course, Super Smiley, my giant mutt sidekick, is here. And Starfire and Mini Haha, the equines in our family, are right outside our glass door because today we're exploring the secrets that horses can teach. If we quiet and learn to listen, the secrets of energy, balance, of listening, of finding our roles as we each walk our path, and so many things they share. Today, we're talking with the president and founder of the Healing Equine Ranch, Kiki Ebsen. Welcome, Kiki.
Thank you, Megan. It's great to be here.
We are just so thrilled and passionate about your being with us here. And horses do indeed lead us on grand life adventures. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They certainly did led me on quite an adventure so far.
And I had the great privilege of learning from Kiki's horses by taking a four-week session with her beautiful herds at the Healing Equine Ranch in the Santa Monica Mountain Range in California. And Kiki, I have to tell you that my first day with your horses, it followed a very harried weekend for me. I was behind on deadlines. I felt like everything was upside down. I got lost on the way to class. And so everyone gets the feeling I turned off from a Los Angeles freeway, right into a neighborhood, and then immediately onto a dirt road that made me feel like I had stepped into another dimension that was all of a sudden peaceful. And the road winded me. Yes, it's amazing. The road winded me through a state park of pristine wilderness and delivered me right to your healing ranch, which is filled with majestic oak trees surrounded by mountains and quiet, and of course, the horses. And just by stepping into your environment, Kiki, I literally felt like I was made more whole, like you've created this healing vortex there. How did you do this? How is that even possible?
Well, first of all, I don't think I do anything. I think I just step out of the way of the land. Step out of the way of the horses and allow the natural beauty of the place and the energy that it already has to just do the work for me. I'm more of a channeler or more of a facilitator in that respect, you know, calling attention to what we already have.
And that's so well said, because that it's perfect. That's exactly what the horses do in teaching. You just said it perfectly. We step out of the way and then we see where they lead us. Is that sort of what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot that goes on with the work with the horses, but that art of allowing is so important when we interact with horses, because they're so acutely aware of pressure. Mm-hmm. So that when you take the pressure off, it means something. It means something more to them because they've never lost their sensitivity to it. And I think that the reasons that humans benefit so much in that area is because we've lost our ability to feel what it's like when the pressure's off, because our pressure's on all the time. So,
right.
You know, we've desensitized ourselves because of just the way we live these lives here, you know, and our, you know, daily routine is busy, busy, and run, compete, and work, and we got to do this and this. That we rarely really take the pressure off. Even when we think we are, we still have pressure on somewhere. You know?
That's right.
It's
just like describing getting there. That was a perfect description of what you're talking about now. And I love the way you said the art of allowing. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And you say your mission is to empower, enlighten, and educate humans through natural interaction with the horses. What does that mean?
Well, basically, God, there's a lot that goes on. And, you know, when you take the word empower, you know, it's not to get power over a horse, but it's to give you skills that empower you in a way where you can now start to deal with things in your life and situations in a way that, you know, again, it uses the art of allowing and the art of when to put pressure on and how much pressure, how little pressure. You know, we talked about, you know, uses of phases when we apply pressure to horses, and that one phrase, be as light as possible. Be as effective as necessary. And that gives you the opportunity to practice being very light in what you ask for. But, you know, because if you come in really strong all the time, you've lost that lightness, especially with people. You know, people are kind of strong-armed all the time. You get used to a heavy, kind of a heavier aid, if that makes any sense. You give people and horses the opportunity to respond. You trust they're going to respond, but then be ready to correct. So basically the empowering part is giving you the skills. The enlightenment part is just like what you said, is coming out, getting back in touch with nature, getting back in touch with this beautiful world that we live in, taking a deep breath, exhaling. That's enlightening in itself.
It is.
And then the educational. The educational part is, again, it's learning these tools and how they can help you as you venture out into your life and start to create new relationships or perhaps revisit old ones. And this is in with yourself, your spouse, your children, your work, you know, your relationship to the world. I mean, it's endless.
It is endless. And that's one of the beautiful things that you share there. It's not only working with the horses and learning how to do that circle of energy, but as well, you can take it out into the world with your family, in your interactions with humans. It's just amazing. And Kiki, before we get more into the horses, I want to do a little bit more of an introduction for you. In addition to being the president and founder of the Healing Equine Ranch, Kiki is an amazing singer who performs all across the country. You were in just in Las Vegas. Is that right, Kiki?
I was. I just returned from some shows in Las Vegas, and then I went over to Arizona and did some shows as well. And it's really fun. It's become very, very rewarding, especially now, because I take the message of what I do with the horses and share a bit of that with my audience. And I'm as a singer-songwriter, of course, I'm touching on all sorts of relational topics in my songs. So not only can I connect them to my music, but I connect them to this purpose that I have with the horses. And all of the proceeds go back into the ranch. So it's just this beautiful, sort of connected, purposeful life that I'm having right now that's pretty awesome.
Yes, it is. It's all integrated. That's the word I like to use. It all fits in it. Everything you're doing supports all the other things that you're doing. And Kiki and I actually met at the Camrio Animal Shelter Adoption Day, where Smiley was there with the Super Smiley Flash Mob, and Kiki was singing there. And Kiki, I didn't even know that you had the ranch at that time. We'd never met. I just was drawn to meet you from your singing. It is so mesmerizing and beautiful with such depth. And you just said it has the purpose. It resonates with people on a subconscious level, because that's what you're sending out there. And it's just magnificent. So I wanted to make sure all of our listeners knew that. And another thing about Kiki that I want to share with the listeners is, Kiki, your father was a very famous actor who played one of the iconic roles in television history, right?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, a long time ago, there was a sitcom about a hillbilly family who struck oil and loaded up their truck and moved to Beverly Hills, right?
That's right.
It was called Beverly Hills. Yeah, and your father was Buddy Ebsen, beautiful actor. Right. He brought us Uncle Jed. And Jed Clampett, he touched our hearts, what I call with this zen-like hillbilly wisdom. All the crazy stuff was going on, but he just was, his character was just so grounded, and zen is the word that comes to me. Did he pass this on to you? Did he have anything to do with bringing you to animals and horses?
Well, of course, my parents had everything to do with me being able to enjoy a lifestyle at that ranch, because that actually is where I grew up. So they immersed us in the animals at an early, early age. My older sisters had horses. I learned to ride, and, you know, when I was 2 years old, I was, you know, sitting on horses, and I was crazy about them. And my father was just, really spent more time. He wasn't really a Hollywood kind of guy when I was growing up, you know, was either here at the ranch or down in Newport Beach, where he is an avid sailor. So his passion was definitely out in the elements and out in nature, either at the ranch or out on the ocean. And he would always have these, you know, it's funny, he was very similar to the character in a way, because he always had these little sayings like, you know, every day is a new ball game. And my favorite is, never turn your back on enthusiasm.
Oh, I think it's just brilliant. I love that. Never turn your back on enthusiasm. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah,
I love that, Kiki. I love it. Yeah.
My life motto.
Well, and Kiki, you have at the Healing Equine Ranch, you all have a very specific way of observing and learning from the horses. And I, in my life, I know that animals are healers and teachers. So let's take a quick break. And then I would love it if you tell us about how you and your students learn so clearly from these beautiful and sensitive creatures. Smiley, yes. Starfire. Yeah. Can you wait? Good boy, Smiley. And Minnie is a good girl.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
I'm Smiley Dog. I'm Super Smiley. Let's rock.
Petco. We're the pet.
pets go.
Petco.
Where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco,
where the pets go.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List. You can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/super and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/super. SUPER.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back on a Super Smiley Adventure with Kiki Ebsen, founder and president of the Healing Equine Ranch. Kiki, you've developed a model called Natural Equine Interactive Learning. Can you tell us about that?
Well, basically what we are presenting to usually beginners or people that haven't had a lot of horse experience or exposure to the principles of natural horsemanship. So I first got into it about 12 years ago as a lifelong equestrian. I did not understand the language of horses before that. And when I got a dose of it, I was so amazed at how my conversations with my horses got better. And I'm not talking about animal communicators.
You just said something very, very interesting. You were a lifelong equestrian, but you didn't... say that again. I want to make sure everyone hears this.
I am a lifelong equestrian, but I never understood the language of horses. Up until about 12 years ago.
And tell us what happened. Explain this to us.
I started adopting horses from different areas, from different types of situations where they were unwanted and they were going to end up in slaughter.
Uh-huh.
So I had a couple of young horses, about 3 months old, which meant I was going to have to be the one that, you know, teaches them and puts the saddle on their back and get on their, you know, take them out for the first time. So I wanted all the help I could get. So I started investigating this whole natural horsemanship thing, which I'd sort of heard about. And that was my journey. I bought a home study course and got my booklets out and took my horse and started following the steps. And they were so miraculous in its simplicity. I was like, I can't believe I didn't know this before.
Right. It is very simple. Often working with animals, people try to make it very complex. But like you said, if you go to their language, it becomes very clear and very simple, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's very much like the way Cesar Millan works with the dogs.
Uh-huh.
There's a pack mentality for dogs, and then there's a herd mentality for horses, because horses and dogs are different by the nature of their species. Horses are prey animals. They're hunted. You know, they're vegetarians. You know, they have eyes on the side of their heads. They're always running and looking behind them. Whereas people, dogs and wolves and whatnot, they're predators. So we're hunting, we eat meat, you know, some predators are also hunted, but in this example, as a human horse relation, you know, as me trying to relate to my horse, I have to understand that I have predatorial behavior that is instinctively, it makes a horse instinctively fearful of me by the way that I move around him if I'm not aware of it.
Right. Very interesting.
Yeah. So, and that the simplest thing is that a human is a direct line, we call it direct line thinker, meaning we go from A to B, straight to it, grab it, and go to the next spot. But that's very, if you think about the way a lion attacks its prey, they go straight to it, grab it quickly, and they let go very slowly.
Right.
When we work with the horses, we need to be aware of how much pressure going directly to a horse will put on him, because actually, if you think you have a beacon coming out of your stomach or your core, you know, which is like we would like to talk about using that core energy, that'll actually push your horse away. And we did that in class, that bubble exercise, where you could feel the energy of someone coming towards you long before they get to you.
Right.
And that's what the horses will feel.
And we actually can feel that energy. And again, that's something that we can fine tune or really, first of all, just become aware of with the horses, but then we become more aware that we take that out into the world and we actually do that with other people as well, right? Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. And that's the whole aha moment that everyone's having. It's like, oh my God, I had no idea. I was being so, you know, why does nobody want to talk to me, you know? Oh, and conversely, there's the one that does not project any energy out, and they're like the wallflower, and the horse is in their face, stepping on their toes, and, you know.
Right.
So for horses, it's very simple. It's all about territory.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever gets the best territory is the leader of the herd, is the dominant one. And there's dominant, you know, there's a hierarchy.
Yeah, it can mean like water, shade, wherever the spot is, right?
Shade, food. The four things important to a horse: safety, comfort, food, and play. And for those four things, they will establish dominance. So you can establish yourself as the dominant herd member by supplying the water, the food, the comfort, the safety. And you can also be the one that takes it. And if you take it, then they've just conceded to you. So it's not about fear and intimidation. It's respect as a leader. And it's just all different.
It is, and it's respect as a leader, and that implies or assumes that you have indeed fit into their herd and you are speaking their language. Is that correct?
Yeah, they have to know that you've got a better plan than they do.
Very
and
good.
It requires extraordinary, you know, you have to take on the responsibility of, I know this sounds kind of heavy, but when you get your horse out, he has just put his life in your hands.
It's true. No, it is true. I often tell people that they don't realize that when you get on a horse, you're getting on a giant flight animal, where my horse is an Arabian. So if a stick breaks, he thinks the stick monster is going to come kill him, you know? So
what
you're saying is not an exaggeration. And anyone who has a horse should know this, right?
Yes, but you probably know. I mean, it's amazing how many people do not realize that they'll say, oh, I feel safer on top of my horse than on the ground. Well, that's just not right at all. I mean, because if you get fearful when you're on top of your horse, what's the first thing someone will do when they get scared? Well, they grab a hold.
They tense up. Yeah, they tense up.
Yeah,
right.
They tense up. So you think about the predator who's just grabbed a hold of their horse on top of the horse, and they wonder why the horse is running off or wants to buck them off. They only want to buck them off because they want to get the predator off the back so they can
save
themselves.
Yeah,
and they want to save themselves.
Right. It's literally a matter of life and death. It's a matter of survival. And one of the things that I love so many things about what we did, Kiki, but I loved that we did a lot of interacting with the horses. But what I really loved is that we did a lot of observing. We just watched and learned. What can we learn from just watching?
Well, if you're lucky enough to watch a herd of horses, and I mean, that could be just two or more. I mean, the more the better, because you really get to see some interesting dynamics. You just watch how they move each other around without any verbal, sometimes they'll nicker and whatnot, but really their body language is what teaches us how to be. So if you watch the way they move each other around and the different parts of the body and how they establish dominance without even touching each other, you'll see this incredible dance of energy that I'm trying to assimilate. When I watch them, I want to like that lead mare. I want to be like that, you know, stallion, even though all my stallions are geldings, they still have stallion behavior and they still have their mare and they still establish their hierarchy and they're still the low man on the totem pole. And you know, that's what they need to do. You want to feel sorry for that little guy who they won't let in, but he's just learning his place. If you protect him all the time, he won't develop the social skills necessary to get along later in life.
Right. And you just mentioned one that doesn't necessarily fit in. I loved watching the herd when you introduced the second bonded herd into the mix. And the second herd had two little mini horses, and they were little, but they were very, very feisty. Can you describe to our listeners about mixing two herds?
Well, basically, you know, I mean, this is a very elementary sort of herd, you know, description, but there's a lead mare and there's a stallion and then there's a bunch of other horses. And the mares are usually around, you know, protected within the lead mare and stallion. Those will be his mares and there'll be one top mare. And then the boys are usually, they live in what they call a rogue, they're rogue stallions and they live on the outskirts of the herd. But they're still part of the herd. They're just not allowed to come in and interact with the mares until they get strong enough. And then they might come in there and sneak one and start their own herd. So that's how they create more herds within one huge band. So that was the herd we were watching, about six or seven horses. And then we introduced another herd that exists at the ranch that has their own, you know, set of hierarchy and their own leaders. and they came into the mix, and you watched how the lead mares and stallions of each herd kept their horses together and wouldn't let them interact. So you noticed the little Minnie wouldn't let her little ward come in and, and play with the other herd. Likewise, right. They weren't allowed to come in and interact with him. Unless she says it's okay. And, you know, it's not that they never can interact, but she's the one who says you can do this.
Right, they were sorting it out. And they were sorting it out. And it's so clear. And sometimes, like I said, I loved when we just observed, but sometimes in your classes, I call them classes because they are absolutely mm-hmm. classes, we didn't even actively observe. We just sat in a state of being. And I loved how you said horses always know what time it is. Kiki, what time is it for the horses?
Now.
It's now. So how can the horses help with teaching us to just be? How do they do that?
You know, I had that sort of revelation about that a couple of weeks ago. You know, the whole new consciousness that we're evolving towards, you know, from all the power of now and all that collective consciousness that we're trying to kind of transform this world. I believe that horses, at least in my experience, allow us to be in a fully peaceful state of well-being. Like, we can be totally who we are without pressure if we choose this, because we don't have to buy anything. We don't have to go anywhere. We can just be with them, and you feel amazing. I'm not sure why it happens, but other than there's things that they do actually lower your heart rate because their hearts beat slower than ours and things like that. But just being in the presence of horses calms me down.
It's like they're just reminding us. And you mentioned how horses are so simple and they just teach it naturally. But this kind of reminds me of Deepak Chopra's teachings. He, you know, he's written many, many books. He's a medical doctor, very, very acclaimed as a life guru. But he talks about how we can just sit and listen, but then we really don't even have to listen. We just wait. But then we really don't even have to wait. We just sit in stillness. And he says the world will offer itself and will roll in ecstasy at our feet. And the horses, mm-hmm. to me, they bring this presence along with the excitement for living in the moment and embracing just being. Maybe it's because that's so strongly who they are and they just vibrate that to us. You think maybe?
Well, you know, if you think about it, animals in general, I mean, we're the only beings on the planet that, you know, say things we don't mean and do things we don't
right.
want to do.
Right.
So, you know, horses are totally authentic. They're not trying to please us. They are very individual. They state their needs or not. I mean, they really, all they want to do is basically be in a state of release or left alone. So mm-hmm. the only way a horse knows that they're doing the right thing is when you're in a complete neutral state of no pressure. That's what teaches them. So the pressure only motivates, that the release teaches. So it's our goal when we're with horses to be as neutral and as relaxed and, you know, in touch with our breathing as possible, because any resistance is going to be reflected in that horse. So
right.
they encourage us every single moment to be in the moment, you know,
right.
now, here we are now. And that's, again, the key to relating with them. And then and the key to partnership when you want to ride. It's not all about standing and breathing with the horse. You know, it's about ultimately riding, doing everything you want to do, all the fun stuff we do with horses and work with cows and jump and do whatever it is you want to do.
Right.
Trail riding. It's just about having a better partnership. Well, I trust my horses with my life.
Right.
You know,
well,
I really do.
Yeah, we definitely do. And I love watching all of the exercises that you've been describing. And I did learn more about me and about my path. But I loved hearing what the other students were focusing on in their lives or struggling with. And then seeing that manifest so clearly as they worked with the horses. It's like you said, it's like the horses were mirrors. If someone was working on micromanaging and being too pressured on themselves, you saw them doing all sorts of things to get the horse to move. And all they had to do was something very simple. They are like mirrors. Do you find that?
Oh, absolutely. Horses completely mirror you, mirror your energy. I mean, it's, you know, the lessons go on and on and on, but that's because of their acute, you know, sensitivity to pressure and emotions, all that stuff. Everything is pressure until you're in a state of no pressure, which is a complete release.
And that's
your emotions, especially anger and, you know, fear, all those things.
Going back again to, they are flight animals, so they have to be that extremely sensitive because it's a matter of survival. And have you found that all of your students have realizations or breakthroughs? Does it, even if it's just something small, does everyone respond to the horses that you've worked with?
I have not seen one person come away without some sort of profound experience. Sometimes they take a little longer to process. Like some people, and horses are like that too. Like they'll walk away, and I'll be wondering, gosh, did they? How did that go? I mean, because they're not saying, they're silent. But usually by the end of the day or a few days later, I get this email, and they're just pouring out, you know, just an incredible experience. So it's that gift that stays with you. You know, you keep processing it long after it's done. You'll feel the horse for many, 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 you know, months, perhaps years later.
Right. And it seems to me, well, it is true that some people are just more naturally tuned into animals than others. Do you find that that acuity of being tuned in is reflective also as to how tuned in they are to their lives? Do you think that there's a correlation there as well?
Well, I personally do. I think that animals bring out humanity in us that's mm-hmm. profound. I mean, and I'm so grateful to my parents for letting me bring home every freaking stray kitty, you know. I even brought up a bunch of hairless field mice, and my dad helped me, you know, with an eyedropper feed the mice that we've been trapping. You know, we've been trapping mice at the ranch, and of course, I want to save these babies because their mother abandoned them. And he's like, "Okay, well, let's go get some formula," you know.
Right. Oh, I love that.
They allowed me the opportunity to indulge, you know, my love for animals, and I do think it makes us more human. I think people who, you know, we're not raised with animals, I feel a little bad for them, and I hope that they find that, you know, because some people are allergic and can't be around them, but, you know, I've seen people who have not been raised with animals see a whole new appreciation for why they're important to us in our lives.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things I say is I believe that animals show us how to connect on a deep level, so they remind us to connect with ourselves. And I you just mentioned the field mice, and I have cats and dogs and horses, and like you, I grew up with all different kinds of creatures. And but each species has a different way of seeing the world and a different language, so they each teach differently. How do you think about each species sort of having different lessons?
Well, you know, I'm not much of an expert on mice whispering or
but like I saw some tapping dogs running around your ranch, like your little dogs.
My dogs! You know, they're my dogs are amazing. You know, I think that, you know, they teach us. Well, for one thing, dogs are so unbelievably unconditionally loving that, you know, you should never be alone if you have a dog. And then they also teach us how to let go. Because I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, who have pets had to let some of their dear pets transition. And, you know, it used to be that, oh, I could never get another dog. But I think that you need to go and just get in animals. They're all going to transition. We're all going to transition someday. But it's what keeps it real. And I, of course, believe that they never really go away, that they're all, you know, all that energy is just circling around us, loving us and, you know, helping us carry on.
I completely agree. And if people, we want to encourage everyone to come to the Healing Equine Ranch right away. But do you think people could start by watching their dog or cat if they just have a little kitty cat at home? Does that work? Or do we need a flight animal like a horse to really get to that deeper level of awareness? What do you think about that?
Well, we're teaching, or what our experience is all about, it works best with the horses because of the pressure release dynamic.
Right.
It doesn't work for cats and dogs. I mean, first of all, cats, you know, they're like, they couldn't be more indifferent. I love my cat, but it's more like, feed me, stupid. You know, I mean, it's great. No, cats are great, but, you know, the jokes between cats and about cats and dogs, you know,
and
just the difference. You know, I think that if you just want to be more, if you just want to feel better, go get a dog and cat, absolutely. And just, you know, if you want to learn about pack mentality and that kind of dominance, you know, definitely, you know, spend some time with your dog and get some skills there. But the type of energy work that I'm talking about is best with horses.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But I was really laughing a second ago because right when we started talking about cats, Toot Sweet the Travel Kitty just walked in the room. It's very, very, very funny. So he was saying, no, I'm tuned in. I'm tuned in, Kiki. I can hang with these horses. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with Kiki Ebsen, Smiley Starfire Mini, haha, and now Toot Sweet the Travel Kitty.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
I'm Smiley the Dog. I'm Super Smiley. Let's rock!
Introducing the new Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection, exclusively at PetSmart. I created it for the pets that rock your world.
Shop the Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection and celebrate PetSmart's 25th anniversary with up to 25% off thousands of items on the PetSmart site. Plus free shipping on orders of $49 or more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com. That's PetSmartDeal.com. P-E-T-S-M-A-R-T-D-E-A-L.com.
Dyson.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
Stop what you're doing and start horsing around. Every week on Pet Life Radio, horse expert and award-winning rider Audrey Pavia will be trotting out great tips on feeding, breeding, and more on everything equestrian. So set a spell and say hey to Audrey and get ready for a darn tootin' galloping good time. Every week on Horsin' Around, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back on a super smiley adventure with Kiki Ebsen, president and founder of the Healing Equine Ranch. And, Kiki, in your course, I love that each student was assigned a horse for the 4-week course. We picked our horses or the horse picked us. Now, I know that in my life, all my animals have found me, or we could say we found each other. How do you think that happens? How does that happen in your classes?
Well, we just really want people to start looking at the way they approach things. Already, we want to start giving you different ways, different perspectives on how you can, you know, interact with the horse. A lot of people will go, hey, I really like that horse, I want him. And you just decide by sight, oh, he's prettier, I want to work with that one. Or you could go in there and kind of scan the energy or the bubble and see if you can't maybe chosen by a horse, which might allow you to change your agenda, because we're very agenda-oriented. With horses, our agenda never gets in the way of the relationship, ever. So we will never put an agenda, like say we do, you know, 4 things with our horse today and we only have a half hour and we've only gotten through 2. We'll never force the next 2 if the relationship has any possibility of being broken. So we always put the relationship first. So if you're building a relationship from scratch, you go in there and we allow people to walk around, you know, introduce themselves to the horses and kind of get a feel for them. So maybe each other by feel as opposed to sight. You know, start to get into with the energy that you can't see. And so what happens? Yes, right. Allow a horse to come to you. And then again, as a predator, we want to go directly into the thing we want, rabbit.
The word allowing, I love the word allow, and I also love the word feeling, to feel which horse you want as opposed to, you know, making a beeline because you already have a preconceived agenda, as you said, in your mind. Do the horses know that they're teachers, or are they just being, and they're just so strong in their being, that's just what they are? What do you think?
You know, I don't know for sure, but my
what do you think?
My feeling is that they're just being, but I also think that, I mean, they're just being themselves, you know.
Yeah.
But I think as time goes on, I could almost bet that they know they're teaching, because, you know, I used to feel like worried about my horses being around so many different people, and some people don't quite know how to ask the right way, and so is my horse going to get really stubborn from all this, you know, they're not being asked properly. But it's really more like if you don't ask in their language, all they're going to hear is blah, 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 blah. Because then the minute I get them out, you know, we're off on our next adventure. So
yeah,
they don't seem to be holding a grudge against me.
That's very cool.
Because I put them with beginners a lot. And I think they actually feel the importance of the job at hand. And I think they like it. They're always at the gate ready to come out,
yeah,
you know, to work. So
yeah, Kiki, what have they taught you? Can you tell us just a few lessons that you've learned from working with them?
Well, they've given me, you know, of the 7 that are mine, each one has illuminated, you know, a part of me. They just sort of brought out the best in me in terms of also being a leader, being a strong, confident leader who's comfortable in her shoes and in her body and in her skin, no matter what. They've really given me that, you know, that ability. And then they've also, the skills of communication, you know, to slow down, to have focus, have intention, to really, really delineate between the pressure and the release, and patience, waiting to see a sign in the horse that he's understood. So they give you these incredible signs once you've asked them to do something, you know, or use pressure to move them in a certain way. If you step back off of them and wait for a sign that they've understood that, boy, that can be very powerful. Because it's kind of right. like when you're talking in class and the teacher's talking too fast and you can't, and you know, you're like, slow down, slow down. That's how we talk to the horses a lot. And that's right. how we talk to each other. We
it
don't
is.
Listen.
Right.
We don't listen enough. So I've become a better listener, a better leader, a better lover, a better, you know, just a general loving mankind. You know what I mean? Just but I have a better feel for the people in my life and the situations in my life as well.
Right.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah. I love everything you said. And I sort of see that as the circle of energy, like giving and receiving, listening and hearing, mm-hmm. listening and talking, sending it out, bringing it back. And yes, the horses are so beautiful at teaching that. And what I participated in was the Horse Mornings for Women series. But you also host studies involving psychotherapy and other type things. Mm-hmm. Can you share some of the other programs that you're involved with?
Yeah. Well, we're also doing something with young girls, like a Horse Mornings for Women, but it's for girls from age like 9 to 12, and it's a whole learning experience and lots of fun for them. We work with psychologists that bring their groups out, and that they use the horses in what they call equine-assisted psychotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, it's getting the client out of the office, off the couch, basically, and into the arena, where the horse is used as a metaphor for the most part, where the client will say, oh, that horse reminds me of, or, you know, that horse seems to act like my mother, or, you know, something like that, where the horse reminds them of the situation, and it gets them talking. And it may get them talking in a way that just normal psychoanalysis won't. You know what I mean? It gets them unstuck. So that's one of the main uses of doing what they call EAP work, or equine-assisted psychology.
I love that. I love that. And Kiki, at the end of our four-week series, one of the students in our class wanted to share what she learned. And as well, Tara, your partner at the Healing Equine Ranch, she wanted to share a comment as well. So let's go to the day that our class has ended and hear what they had to say.
Okay.
And here we are. We're actually at the ranch, the Healing Equine Therapy Ranch, under the beautiful oak trees. And we just finished our last day, our fourth session. I'm here with one of the students, Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I am so good after these 4 weeks. Tell everybody what you learned as a student from the horses.
Well, you know, it's pretty amazing that you can come here, you know, once a week for 4 weeks, and you learn all of these little things that are so insidious. You know, they come up in your life in ways that you didn't expect it to. And, you know, you'll be sitting in your car and something comes into your mind. It's like, oh, you know, I learned that at the horse ranch, you know, and it's so amazing to just learn to be present in the moment and, you know, allowing yourself and other people to be as they are. And, you know, is an incredible learning experience. It really was.
Right. I love the exercise that we did today. We had to identify something in our own lives. And one of the other students talked about her issue was micromanaging. And then we saw that she was actually micromanaging the horse. And you don't have to tell us what your issue was, but what did you observe from watching other people or from your experience in doing that, moving the horses through obstacles?
Well, I know that for me, one of my problems is that I overthink things too much, come to my own conclusions before anything actually happens. And, you know, you get such an instantaneous response from the horses that you don't even realize that you're projecting your own problems onto them. And so, you know, we're working with the horses, walking them over obstacles, and then I find myself second guessing and coming up with my own conclusions, like, oh, the horse isn't going to do it. And then the horse doesn't do it. And it's because I came to my own conclusion. So, you know, you get immediate instantaneous feedback from the exercises that you're doing. And it's very reflective of, you know, who you are, where you're at, and what you need to work on.
Right. Animals, I always say, are healers and teachers. And you just said it so well, that they are instantaneous. They are so crystal clear in their communication. Would you recommend this to other people?
Absolutely. I think everyone needs to do this. This was the most amazing thing. I'll be back again and again. It's repeatable. You know, you're going to learn something new every time you come. And I recommend it to everybody. It's an amazing program.
Cool, Christine. And I want to come back too. So I'll see you back at the ranch, okay?
Awesome. Sounds good. Can't wait.
Hey, bye.
Thank you.
And now I'm here with Terry Carroll, and Terry is Kiki's partner in the Healing Equine Therapy Ranch. Hey, Terry.
Hi.
Terry, we loved the program. What have you learned from watching the students interact with the horses? We all know the horses are teachers, but what does the whole relationship teach us?
You know, it's really amazing for me to be able to do what I love and love what I do and be able to watch the students get those aha moments from the horses and really be able to connect it with not only themselves and the horse, but then how they can apply it into the life outside once they take it off the ranch.
Right, and that's one thing about animals being teachers is that we can not only learn how to interact with them, but we apply it to our lives and to our spirits. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's what we hope to do here, and that's what we see all the time happen. So it's awesome.
Thank you so much for offering this amazing program. We want to invite everyone to come out and join the Healing Equine Therapy Program. And give us the website again.
It's thehealingequineranch.com.
Very cool. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Megan.
And we're back here now in the studio with Kiki Ebsen. Kiki, what you were doing, I don't know if I shared this with you, but exactly what you're doing was always a big picture dream of mine, to work with healing horses in a therapy program and share what they have to offer. And I know that in life, we each have different paths. And Smiley has certainly taken me around sharing his lessons, you know, the Boys and Girls Club and therapy work. So we just really never know where our paths will specifically take us. But do you sometimes feel that the animals are leading you, that they're showing you your path, or do you feel like you are always leading them?
No, I've been led on this path. Absolutely. I have always, for some reason, I have to do this. I didn't really choose it. I just started, I mean, obviously I made some certain choices, but I think I got out of the way and allowed some sort of divine, you know, intervention take me on this path of horses and healing, and it seems to make a lot of sense because I ended up with a very beautiful place in which to be able to offer the classes. I started adopting horses a lot long before I knew what I was going to do with them all. I was actually going to try to sell them, but I fell in love with each one of them. So I figured I better do something with all these horses. And then when I saw what they were teaching me and saw how it was bettering my life and then became aware of the opportunities with equine-assisted growth and learning, you know, to use what I knew with about natural horsemanship and combine that with, you know, just human awareness and growth and development. And I'm really, you know, I'm obviously very excited about, you know, all the new consciousness and the new earth and kind of moving us into a healthier place as a society. So I thought, wow, this all fits. And my music, you know, I'm a songwriter. I represent my art repertoire and that. I could take this all and put it together. It seemed like it all kind of, like synchronicity, you know, it all sort of fit together, but I didn't like follow a plan or anything. I didn't go if I do A, B, I get C. I just, again, I allowed it to happen. And I think that's our big message here is get out of our way, get out of your way, step back, take a deep breath, and wait. Just wait.
Yes. Wait and listen.
It all appears.
Absolutely. And Kiki, yes, I want a second. It is very clear to me that you are on your life path. And I just so appreciate and admire what you're doing. And I want to also, we kind of glossed over it quickly, but your horses are rescues, many with very hard and traumatized backgrounds, like my horse Starfire. So thank you for rescuing these animals and for showing what they all have to offer.
Thank you.
No, thank you. And Kiki, how can people find you? Give us your website. How can people sign up? Tell us what we do.
You go to the website, thehealingequineranch.com, and it will give you, go to the pages on programs, and you can read about what we're doing. And we have a calendar that lets you know when the programs start. And you can always you sign up online, or you can contact me. You can call or email me for more information, and you can come by for a visit. And we periodically have open barns and fundraisers. We're going to do something at the end of October at the ranch.
Okay, cool.
So just get on our mailing list and we'll give you a prize.
I want to encourage everybody to do that, to come to the Healing Equine Ranch, because you will love it. You'll love every little second of it, and you will leave a different and more full person. I really believe that in my heart. And I want to share that as I was driving away on my last day, I was on the dirt road, and just 10 feet off the road was a herd of deer grazing right on the side of the road. And they were so beautiful and peaceful. And I was leaving the Healing Equine Ranch, going back onto the freeway, about to get on, going back into the world. But the deer, it was like a perfect sign that as I was leaving, I should remember to take it with me. And to remember, I believe that that's one of the secrets, the horses, just to remember. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, remember what happens now after you leave the ranch. It isn't even something that you have. Yes, you'll remember the visions in your head. But experiential learning is what they call embodied learning. So now you have it in your body. It's
right.
It's cellular. It's like your body is now incorporated what it's like to be the leader of your herd. And yes, you'll remember the visions, but you're going to feel it now. So you can summon that feeling at any time.
Right. And as you said, the feelings are literally embodied. They're feelings like relax, breathe, be grounded, mm-hmm. just be. They are those, they're in your body. They're body feelings.
Yeah. Well, it's the language, isn't it? I guess what I'm saying is the language is actually in your body now.
Yes.
You felt it, you know, how to move the horse around, you know, how to apply pressure, and how to release the pressure, and all the focus part, and your intention, and having a plan, and you know, all the things we talked about.
Right. Kiki Ebsen, thank you so much for joining us on a super smiley adventure. Give your website again for everyone, please.
The Healing Equine Ranch.
TheHealingEquineRanch.com. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Cool. And Smiley wants to invite everybody to visit him on his website, SmileyTheDog.com. The Pet Life Radio link is there. And Smiley's award-winning film, Super Smiley Flash Mob, a documentary is on there as well. It just played in theaters across LA with the Film Festival Flicks, and it won the regional competition. Congratulations to Smiley. Good job getting the word out. Pet adoption. Yeah, very, very good. And thank you again, Kiki Ebsen, founder and president of the Healing Equine Ranch, for joining us. And until next time, Kiki, what was it that your father said at the end of each of his shows?
Oh, you're not. Yeah, ready? Will you all come back now here? Oh, you're bad, Megan.
And from Smiley, Whoop, and Super Smiles.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.